Now, some of these experiments conducted at Paralabs, tell me about the results.
Well, one of the interesting experiments we did was a deprivation experiment. Basically, what that consisted of is putting the subject into a deprived state where we were basically putting them into where their sight, sound, they were basically in a state where they could not tell anything that was around them, you know, sight, sound, all that.
Right.
What we did with that is we ran these in 30-minute segments, these experiments, and then we put different subjects in the room with them where they didn't know that subject was going to be in that room. And we marked the time they were in there. They could not hear or tell that subject was in there. One of the interesting outcomes of this was when we had done about five or six of these experiments in a row, we found that there was a correlation to the people that we had standing in that room to the interview that we did to that subject afterwards, where they were able to sense that there was something different in the room. Not only could they sense that, but they could actually sense the mood that person was in.
Do you find that families are in, you know, pretty heavy distress because of paranormal activities in and around their homes?
Some of them are, yeah. We get calls all hours of the day, the night. I've got calls at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. People call me up. They're panicking because they don't know what to do. Sometimes this stuff really scares them.
Oh, yeah. They can't sleep. They can't do anything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
How about yourself? Any encounters?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me.
Well, where do we start? What got me into this about 25 years ago was I was investigating a place in Brattonall, Ohio. I was kind of amateur at the time. I took interest in this place because it was an abandoned mansion. There was a lot of talk about activity that was there.
Right.
After about the sixth or seventh time that I visited this place, I had an experience where I actually came face-to-face about 20 foot, a black shadow figure that stood about 5.5 foot tall, was wearing 40-style clothing, and I froze. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing at the time.
Did you freeze in a panic mode or just shocked?
No, not necessarily a panic mode, more of, I wouldn't say shock, but more of disbelief that I was actually seeing something.
Just kind of perplexed, I guess.
Yeah, and then ever since then, I've been absolutely just on a quest to try to find out, you know, more about this stuff. And, you know, I've spent pretty much my whole life since that point, you know, trying to figure it out and trying to learn a little bit more about it.
What's it like for you when you go out somewhere and somebody asks you, hey, what do you do? And you say, well, you know, I hit up this paranormal investigating group. And I mean, how do they react to you, Eric?
You mean like the families that we
No, I mean just people if you go out to a restaurant or something like that.
Oh, it's for the most part, it's positive. I don't really see too many people, you know, pointing the finger at me and saying, you know, that, you know, you're evil or
right.
Something like that because of what you do.
No, but do you find that they all have a story to tell you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. You start talking to someone about what you do, and a lot of people do have a story. Occasionally you get someone that says, I've never had an experience, and, you know, they don't have anything to tell you. But most people do. We find that a lot of, I would say, probably over 70% of the people we talk to actually have multiple experiences in their lifetime, and they'll talk about it. Now, are these all true paranormal events? They could be just, you know, something that could be easily explainable and debunked, but they have those stories.
Is there any science behind this, behind what you do, investigators in general?
There is. There's definitely some science behind it. It's basically where we take and we look at results. We try to debunk stuff first up front, okay? When we go into a facility or to a home, we always try to look for, you know, logical, you know, explanations for what's going on. Then at that point, if we can't find anything there, then we start turning to, you know,
the illogical.
possible paranormal type of activity. And we've had cases where we've gone in and it's been without a shadow of a doubt that there's paranormal activity. We've had, I mean, I've had objects thrown at me. We've actually been pushed.
So they've tried to hurt you.
Well, I don't know if they try to hurt you. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to get your attention, is what they're trying to
do. They don't want you to turn around and run out the other way?
I don't think that's the case. I think a lot of times if there is a spirit or an entity present at a location and you're making some kind of contact with them or communication with them, what they're trying to do is they're trying to communicate with you. I don't think that a lot of them are out to try to harm you. I think that's a misconception. I think what happens is people actually experience something where they get an object comes out of a cabinet or, you know, a glass, you know, falls, you know, or a door opens or cupboards open and close. Things like that, I think, are, you know, just more of an attention getter where they're trying to communicate something. But the family or person that's experiencing it will actually think that it's something, you know, evil or something that's trying to hurt them. And it's just the fear that takes over.